Psalms 47. And keep your Bibles open, if you will. And something Devon said to me the other, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before last, kind of sparked my thoughts for tonight. And I'd done a little bit of research back some time ago and earlier this year, and kind of tied in with it. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's time to preach it. And I preached the other day about going deeper. And I made the statement, there is a place that you can get as a Christian that the devil will have to leave you alone. And I know that some people probably look at me a little bit funny when I say that, but I'm going to try to tell you how to do that tonight, one of the ways to do that. You know, there's a place we can get that the enemy cannot bother us anymore. And Psalms chapter 47 and verse 1, he says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." This is a coronation psalm that opens with two actions. He tells us here, he doesn't open this psalm with a whisper. He opens it with a loud noise. He opens it with two physical actions. One of them is the clapping of your hands, and the other is shouting. That's the way this psalm starts out. Now, the word clap, we don't have a real good English translation. Our English translation doesn't really do this word justice. The Hebrew word for this is tekah. And if some of y'all have probably remember the messages I preached on praise some time back, it's been a few years back. Tekah was one of those words that I preached on that was praise. Tekah is a form of making a noise, and it is a percussive action. That's what the drums are. It's a percussive action. It is to strike. It is to drive or blast. It's also like being on the wrong end of a trumpet. That describes tekah. Any of you that's ever been in band, you probably have a love for trumpets about like I do. One is all you need, and sometimes it's more than enough. He tells us here to shout. That word there is ruah in the Hebrew. It means by breaking, or to split the ears with sound, to shout, or for an alarm of joy. The same cry that announced the blast for the trumpet during the year of Jubilee. It's the same sound that they used for the war cry for the army that was on the move. And then I see in the last part of this verse, he says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That word in the Hebrew is renah. That means to a shrill sound or a shout of joy or gladness or a proclamation or rejoicing or to sing. This shout is not just an emotional outburst. It's not just making noise because we are excited. You know, I want to look at the noise as from a scientific perspective if I can. Noise is a sound wave. Would you agree with that? It's a vibration, a frequency. It has an effect on everything that it touches. the noise that goes out. I want you to look here at this verse with me. The first thing I want us to notice is the summons. He says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people." Not just the ones that are the expressive type. But he says all. There's no exceptions for the introvert, the tired, the embarrassed, or the dignified. But he said all. Psalm 47 is not a spectator activity. He's not calling for an audience. But he's calling for an orchestra. Every one of you are an instrument. You say, "Well, I don't have a musical bone in my body." God created you to worship. The clap, or to call, the call to clap. I want you to notice something here. This is not, he doesn't say clapping, he says clap. And I know some of you that when we get up and we sing, and some of you like to clap your hands, and some of you hadn't figured out whether to clap on the 1 and 3 or the 2 and 4. Janie's raising her hands in self-guilt. But he's not talking about just clapping. He's talking about to call or to clap in unison. You think we could do that tonight? I know this is a little bit different, but this is old folks' church. Brother Virgil done told us that. So on the count of three, let's clap. 1, 2, 3. Now that was a lot better than just... That's the way he starts his psalm out. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And then he tells us in verse number 5 that God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now, a shout from a physical standpoint, the vocal cords vibrate. The vibration pushes air molecules out of what is called, it's what's called a sound wave. And every sound wave has a measurable frequency. That's how many times it cycles per second. That's why somebody's singing bass, it is a lower sound wave or a lower frequency than somebody singing a tenor part. That is a high frequency, a high. It cycles several times a second. Those sound waves do. Every sound wave has a measurable frequency. It also has what is called amplitude. That is either measured in strength or volume. Sound does not stay put. It travels from within and moves out until it touches something, or reflects off of something, or it runs out of energy. I don't know if some of y'all can remember, but while our church was under construction a few years back, we had church in the activity building. And while we was up there singing, or you get up to testify, or any activity that you done, the sound just reverberated off of the walls. It was horrible. Matter of fact, whenever we come into this place, we had a sound engineer come in to design the speakers, especially for this church, this auditorium. Your sound will amplify. It will reverberate, it will go out Once it leaves your voice, the sound was never intended to stay inside of you. I'm not talking about a thought. I'm talking about a noise. You know, this is not just a feeling that stays locked up in you. Sound travels. Do you remember in the book of Joshua, chapter number 6? You know that story? I'm going to be in verse 20 is where I'm going with this. But you remember the children of Israel had come to Jericho, a fortified city, and they marched around 7 days. They marched around that city. On day number 7, they marched around 7 times. God says, I'm going to give you this city. They marched around 7 times, and on that 7th time of the 7th day, what does the Bible say that they done there? So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a little shout, a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, I'm not belittling God, but the walls fell when they shouted. You say, well, the people did that? You take somewhere around 1 million people shouting at one time, in unison, walls come down. Well, what about another instance in the Bible? You'll read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. You remember the story? King Jehoshaphat is facing the armies that he's greatly outnumbered. It looked like there was no way possible he was going to win the battle, but God. God told him, he says, I want you to put the singers out in front. And the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They began to fight among themselves when the children of Israel begin to praise. You know, the shout, the song, and the praise went out first. What was in their way could not stand. Some time back, I got intrigued with I'm sure some of y'all have probably seen them advertised. You may even have one in your house. But the one I seen is a little white box, Brother Robert, that plugs into your wall. And they're supposed to keep cockroaches and mice and other thing away. And if you got cockroaches and you got one, I'm not going to embarrass you. But, you know, I got intrigued by the way these things work. Do you know what they do? They emit a frequency that the targeted insect or rodent, some of them are for mice, the target that they cannot stand. They permit a frequency that drives the little visitors that you don't want. It keeps them out of your house. It doesn't spray a poison. It doesn't set a trap. I've never seen one of them catch a single bug. And what really got me interested in this was Devon was telling me the other day, and I'm going to tell him my brother just a little bit because that's what brothers do. He's got a neighbor. Praise the Lord. It's his neighbor, not mine. But he's got some dogs. And he's always had dogs. And Devon, he says, I can't even go out to my shop or go in the backyard, but them dogs just start barking. That gets annoying. I'm surprised he didn't shoot them, to be honest with you. But he's getting a little bit older and soft-hearted in his old age. So he bought a device that every time the dogs bark, it emits a noise. And he said them dogs, whenever they bark, they'll just cover their heads with their paws, cover their ears, and they'll tuck their tail and start to... And he said his neighbor hadn't figured out what's going on yet. But I'm here to tell you that it is possible to make enough noise that the enemy cannot stand it around the house of prayer church. You know, the kids sing that song about praise. Praise is the water that our enemy drowns in. If we want to get close enough to God that the enemy does not want to even come near us, we need to praise. We need to worship. There's a place that you can get to that the enemy says, I don't want to be anywhere around that group of people, because they know how to get a hold of God. They know how to praise and they know how to worship. They know how to shout. And they know how to clap. Did you know that there are football stadiums, ball games, concerts? As a matter of fact, some of you probably are familiar with the group Metallica. They was playing in concert at one of the NFL football stadiums. It was packed out, and they began to play, and I don't know if it was some guitar riff that they come across, but it registered 1.5 on the Richter scale over a mile away. If the secular world can do that and have an impact over a mile away, what can the redeemed of the Lord do? The enemy will leave because he doesn't like the atmosphere. I want you to drop down and look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. He said, but God reigneth over the heathen, and God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Look at the last part of verse number 9. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly to be exalted. This psalm does not end the way it started, with a shout, with a clap. Shouting is not the goal. I love a lively church. Sister Tanya, keep lifting your hands and worshiping God. But I hope you get the message tonight. I love a lively church, but that's not the end goal. I don't want us to get up here and just run around like a bunch of heathens and just act plumb goofy. That's not the point of it. But when we shout and we clap and we do it in unison and we're doing it to worship God, the church can move mountains. Why? Because the enemy will have to flee. The shout cleared the way. The walls of Jericho fell, and they was able to go in and take the land. After the battle, you'll find that Judah, they gathered the spoils and the land had rest for many generations. But I thought about that little pest repeller that you plug into the wall. You know, if you unplug that thing, don't be surprised if the cockroaches don't come back. That's good preaching. Devon, if you unplug that little sensor, the dogs will start barking again. If we quit praising, we quit worshiping, and we quit shouting in unison, guess what? The devil will come back. Frequency moves things. You remember in the New Testament when Paul and Silas was locked in that Philippine jail, they begin to sing and to praise. And the jail cells burst open. You say, that's all just biblical stuff. I know the Spirit may just be getting ready to leave here, but did y'all catch that whenever President Trump, in January, it's January 3rd of 2026, some of y'all remember it, when the U.S. raided and captured the Venezuela leader, Nicolas Maduro. President Trump let something slip. He says, we used a discombobulator. You didn't think I could pronounce words that big, did you? I got intrigued by what is a discombobulator. It is a highly classified military secret weapon. And I really don't think he was probably even supposed to mention it, but in Trump and all of his Trump fashion, you know, we have the greatest military in the world. By the way, it's the greatest military. I mean, he has a way with words, but he said we used a discombobulator on. We went in there in a matter of hours, captured him and his wife, and got out of there unscathed, and they didn't do anything about it. We discombobulated them. Well, this discombobulator, from my research, will fit in the backpack carried by a human soldier. What it does is I know this is classified information, and I don't know, I just know what has been leaked. But from what I understand is this discombobulator, it produces a frequency that discombobulated the enemy. It rendered them helpless. Brother Robert, they couldn't do anything. Their Chinese and Russian missiles that they had, they could not fire them. They could not pick up a firearm and shoot a gun. They said it messed with them for weeks after they used it. They couldn't do it. The enemy could not defend themselves. If our military has this kind of technology, what does the children of God have? We can discombobulate the enemy if we get together. And we clap and we shout and we worship. The enemy will be rendered helpless. There is a place that we can get to where the enemy cannot stand to go. If you stand up and you testify, the enemy has been on me all week. He's been terrible. I have been through one trial after another trial this week. I just don't know if I can go on. Maybe we need to clap. Maybe we need to shout. Maybe we need to praise. Maybe we need to get a discombobulator after the enemy or plug in one of those little things that goes into the wall that keeps the cockroaches out. Pick up your Bible and read and study and pray. it'll work. Walls will come down. Armies will be defeated. Jail cells will swing open. When we begin to pray and praise.